Amen. That's good. The Lord's been lifted up, and I appreciate the music, and I'm thankful for you guys being here this week. Grateful for Pastor Denson, Miss Jerry being with us this week. You'll enjoy the preaching from Pastor Denson. He was my pastor. I was trying to think of the years, but, you know, I can't remember how old I am anymore. So it was somewhere back in the 2010 to 2015 range, somewhere in there, that he was my pastor. And I still consider him my pastor today. He's been a mentor of mine. And honestly, someone that I call when I'm kind of in a bind or stuck or just need some good counsel. And what I'll tell you about Brother Denson, he's always, every single time, giving me straight counsel. And that's what I appreciate about him. And then sitting under the preaching, not just all the sermons I heard, but just watching him pastor, watching his family, watching him direct the church with excellence for the Lord, it really impacted me. And so there have been multiple times. I know we look to the Lord, but there's been multiple times when I've said, I wonder what Brother Denson would do right here. And then I thought, you know, I know him. I'll just call him. And I'm sure there's times when he sees my number come up that he's going, oh boy, what is he doing? But anyway, Pastor, we're so thankful that you're here. Come up and preach to us.
Well, just to clarify, I have never one time saw his number on my phone and thought, what is he calling me for? Not one time. Usually it's like, oh, great, I haven't talked to him in a while, so... I absolutely love your pastor. I love his family. I love what the Lord's done in his life, what he's doing in his life, how he's using him. And I know it may sound silly, but I'm proud of him and thankful for the Lord's work in their life. And thankful for you. Thank you so much for being here. How many of you, this is your first time here, you're a guest? Okay, how many of you are a guest? You're not a member, but you're just visiting. Oh, good, good. Look, here we are. This is my group over here. I too am a guest, so thank you for being here. We should have like lunch together, you know, all the guests. Let's just get together. And you took me up on that. Great. Yep, I just fouled the schedule up. No, seriously, thanks for being here. And I want to encourage you to come back and hear this pastor. I'm just telling you, God's gifted him. And I've never one time heard him that I'm not scratching my head going, where did he get that? I mean, it's right there in the book, but it's like, man, just his ability to pull truth out and communicate it clearly is, I know very few that have his ability. And he kind of, honestly, I don't even like him. He can do anything. There's nothing he can't do. You know, he can fix anything. He can make anything. And so we were talking at supper last night, he's getting bees. And I'm like, of course he's going to be a beekeeper too. Why not? Just add it to his list of everything else he does. So... And what is my gift? I don't know. I'm 53. I'm still looking for that one gift. So he has all kinds. So guys like that tick me off, you know. So I don't know. Somehow in the sorting out of gifts, I don't know. I messed up somewhere. And he hung out too long. He got all of it. So anyway, I'm thankful for him. So we're going to be in John chapter 19. I don't know if you normally do this. It's my kind of deal to have you stand and honor the reading of the Word of God. We don't have to stand to honor the reading, but... It's in the Bible. When they did open it, the people stood. And so I just think it gives reverence to the Scripture. John chapter 19, just going to read just a handful of verses here. And I want to talk to you about secret discipleship. And I think it's a problem with all of us. And it is in my life, and I'll give myself an example. I'm a terrible example. I'm an example of what you don't want to do or what you don't want to be, but I don't mind... telling you those things. John chapter 19, verse 38. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night. That's important. That's really the way he's usually referred to. Is the guy that came to Jesus by night. Well, why would you come to Jesus at night? Because you're afraid. You're afraid what other people think. You're afraid what's going to do to your reputation. So, again, you have these disciples. And brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100-pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen cloth, with the spices, as the manner of Jews is to bury, They would wrap, put the spice in, they did that to kind of conceal the smell of the decaying body. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulcher, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulcher was nigh at hand. Father, I pray, Lord, this morning that you'd help me, that my mind would just be clear, and Lord, I wouldn't mix, I wouldn't confuse this simple truth. And Lord, I pray that you'd be at the hearts of these your people, that all of us, Lord, there's areas, Lord, that we hide. And I pray that you'd help us, Lord, today to be willing to expose those and be willing to move forward by faith in our walk with you. And I thank you for these men and their life and their testimony and how they changed. God, I pray that you'd help us to change. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. I think all of us have heard someone tell us at one time or another, hey, let me tell you a secret. Hey, let me tell you something. Don't tell anybody. It's a secret. Maybe somebody said that to you, or maybe you've said that to somebody. I love it when, I mean, it happens to me too. Somebody will say, hey, let me tell you something. Don't tell anybody. You can't tell anybody, but let me tell you something. I'm like, okay. Because I mean, you know, humans like knowledge. Knowledge is power, you know, so give me the information. And it's not because we want to pray for someone. It's because we want to know what's going on in somebody's life. And so somebody tells you something, they tell you the secret. And the first thing we do, go to my wife. Now, baby, you can't say anything. Don't say anything. I'm really, really shouldn't say anything. I'm going to tell you because I trust you. So this is what, oh, really? I'm not accusing my wife of this. I'm just saying normal human behavior says, hey, Mom, don't say anything. It's a secret. Aaron said not to say anything. I mean, we're already down to the third, fourth hand of this secret that wasn't supposed to get out. I think that's normal. The whole idea of a secret is to keep something hidden or concealed. Don't let it out for everyone to know. The information is only for a select few. We get the idea of what a secret is. I know what a secret is. You know what a secret is. And that's precisely why this passage of Scripture could cause confusion. Joseph, a disciple. A disciple is a learner, a pupil, a follower. This is somebody that knows Jesus, has a relationship with Jesus, is a follower of Jesus, has not denied Jesus, but secretly. Does that confuse you? Why secret? I mean, to me, I'm looking at disciple and secret. That doesn't make sense. That doesn't jive. That doesn't gel. That doesn't come together. Well, it's because of fear of the Jews. He was afraid of their response, the position that he had, the person that he was. He was afraid of how they were going to respond. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not harping on Joseph or Nicodemus. I really believe every person that calls Jesus Christ their Savior is a secret disciple in some part of their life. I think there's some part of all of our lives that we know God. We know the Bible. We know what the Word of God says, but we conceal it. We hide it. We're afraid to expose it. We're afraid to let other people know. We're afraid of what they're going to say, what they're going to think, how they're going to treat us. Are we going to keep our image? I think all of us have secrets. I think all of us have things in our life we want concealed. So it's not the text that I struggle with. It's not Joseph or Nicodemus that I struggle with. It's the idea of secret discipleship that bothers me. Everything in my being responds, that's not the way it's supposed to be. That's not normal. That's not what a child of God should be like. That's not what a disciple is. Secret? Are you kidding me? Secret discipleship is nothing new. John chapter 12 gives us another account of those that would not let their interest in Jesus be made public in accordance with Isaiah's prophecy. John chapter 12, verse 42. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Now, I start reading passages like that, and then my heart is smitten. Smote. It draws attention to the purpose, the reason why they were secret, the reason why they wouldn't expose. Now, no names are given in our text, or in John chapter 12, but in our text, two names are revealed. We're not told a whole lot about either of these men. Every gospel account says something about Joseph. Matthew writes that he was a rich man and a disciple of Jesus. Mark informs us that Joseph was an honorable counselor, which meant that he was a member of the Sanhedrin. Luke refers to him as a good and just man. Here our text says that he was a secret disciple of Jesus Christ. Luke also said that Joseph had not consented with those that had condemned Jesus. So in other words, when they began to condemn him, he didn't go along with it. So just an interesting fact, Joseph being rich, a rich man, fulfilled a prophecy from Isaiah chapter 53 that he was among the rich. So there are some details worth noting. Most of the disciples had fled. I want you to get this in your mind. Most of the disciples had fled. We know John was an eyewitness to Jesus' death. John more than likely could have never obtained a meeting with Pilate. However, Joseph could, being that he was a rich man and a member of the Sanhedrin. So his commanding presence would have given weight to his request. It was customary that the Romans allowed family members to take the body of their loved ones down for burial. That would not have been the case for treason, and that's why they were hanging Jesus on a cross. So it would appear that Pilate never truly believed Jesus was guilty of what he was accused of. It's the Jews' preparation day. Jesus died at 3 o'clock. The day ended at 6 o'clock. So the point is, much had to be done in a short amount of time. Therefore, it was no accident that the tomb in which Jesus was laid was close to where he died. It's almost like there was a sovereign. It's almost like there was a God in heaven that knew what was going to take place and made sure every detail was taken care of. Another character is involved in this passage is Nicodemus. Reputedly, one of the three richest men in Jerusalem. Every time Nicodemus is mentioned, he's mentioned as one who came to Jesus by night. We recognize him from the well-known passage of John chapter 3. Here we have another secret disciple. Neither of these men had made their opposition to what Jesus faced known publicly. Who they were and what they believed was a secret. They were followers of Jesus. Nobody knew it. They knew God, but they didn't share it with anybody. It's no secret why they were being secret. It was for fear of the Jews. Fear. The desire for approval by those that we live with, isn't that the reason that we don't stand for Christ? Isn't it the reason you won't share your faith? Isn't it the reason you won't pass a tract out? Isn't it the reason you won't invite your neighbor to church? Isn't it the reason you won't witness to your family member? Because we're fearful. We're afraid. We're afraid of what they think. We're afraid of how they view us. I have been convicted about my own lack of inviting people and witnessing to people. And again, there's sins of commission and omission. Things you do that you shouldn't and things you should that you don't. I think we're guilty of both. I am. And I get busy with life. I get busy with the church. I get busy with ministry. I get busy with all that needs to be done. And I just don't give thought to it. I just don't think. Man, I have neighbors. I just went through the drive-thru. I just went to the grocery store. I could have handed the cashier a tract and invited them to church. I just am not conscious like I should be. And I've been convicted about that. And so it was Easter and a couple of weeks ago, and so I got convicted, and I'm like, I got me a good stack of Easter tracts, invitations. I'm going to hand all of these out before Easter, and so I'm handing them out. I mean, I'm convicted. I'm handing them to the drive-thru. I'm going into Lowe's, and I wherever I went, I made sure that I was inviting people to the Easter service, and if it led into a conversation, to have a conversation with people. I mean, are we not supposed to know him and make him known? Why are we on earth, for crying out loud? It's to know God and to make him known, to tell the world that there is a Savior. But so much of our life is done in secret. I don't mind loving Jesus. I don't mind preaching to a congregation that everybody in there loves Jesus and they agree with what I'm saying. But what about those people that don't agree? And I hate to admit it, at my age and my place in life, I'm still a little afraid. And it was exposed. So I go through Starbucks drive-thru, and transactions have been made. I've ordered my hot drink and I've paid for it. And I tipped. Ticks me off. Why in the world? You got to tip everything under the sun. I don't get tipped. I don't understand. Sorry. So they always hand this thing out and they say, there's going to be a few questions. No, there's not. There's one. Are you going to give me more money or not? I mean, that's it. So I tipped because I'm trying to be a good witness. I'm trying to be a good Christian. I'm trying to do the right thing. I'm trying to take the high road. So I tip. And I said, can I get a receipt? And so she hands me the receipt and I hand her the Easter invitation. And I'm not kidding her. I don't want that. Well, it doesn't have the plague. It's just a piece of paper, you know, but something in me that bothered me. So I'm like, okay, you know, so I put the track down, rolled my window up, and drove to the church. And man, in my mind, I'm just like, what is her problem? What happened in her life that's so traumatic that you can't hand, you know, take a piece of paper from someone? I mean, I'm just mulling this around. So I get in my office, I'm drinking my drink, and I'm beginning the day, and it's just bugging me. And I begin to think, why does that bother me so bad that it bothered her so bad? She rejected me. I didn't like it. That was rude. Just take it and throw it away. Just be nice. She wasn't nice. It bothered me. So a couple days later, I'm going through Starbucks again. And amen. That's what I thought. I thought, I ain't tipping. I did. I mean, I have these wicked thoughts that go through my head. And I'm like, I'm not tipping today. And so I get up there and it's a different person. And I tipped. And yet there was something in me like, this is like Friday before Easter. Do I try again? I mean, here, I'm talking about Starbucks. Because obviously these people think different. I was afraid. And I drove off and didn't hand a track because I was afraid. I'm sorry, church, that's pitiful. And I'm sorry that I wish I could say I have victory in every area of my life and I don't struggle with anything. I am here to tell you that I begin to understand these secret disciples. They were afraid. So the secret's out. These are issues that we all could potentially be crippled by. We all want to be accepted. We all want to be a part of the crowd. No person wants to be rejected, made fun of, or mocked. These men had attained a high level in society. Both were rich. We may not like all the attitude and antics of the rich, but we all wouldn't mind trying to be rich for a day or two. I mean, I would not mind being Bill Gates for just 72 hours. My life would change and so would yours if I was up here. These rich are looked well upon. Both of these men had attained societal status. They were successful. They were prestigious. They had enviable positions. And as their lives continued down the road of prestige and riches, listen to me, as they had everything that the world had to offer, it was Jesus they couldn't get past. It was his life. It was his voice. It was his authority. It was his spirit. It was his miracles. It was his word that they couldn't get over. The glory of riches fades away. The power of position is eventually lost. What are you left with? Most people will never leave that path, not because they're so fulfilled and satisfied. They will never leave the path because they're fearful of what others are going to say. And according to John chapter 12, some will never follow Jesus because they crave the approval and the praise of other men more than they do the approval and the praise of God. Where are you? Before you look at Nicodemus and before you look at Joseph and say, what is their problem? Why would you be in secret? Why would you hide from the truth? Why would you say you know somebody and not tell somebody that you know somebody? I can tell you what the issue is. They were afraid, and it's the same issue you and I have. Would you think with me for just a moment, when we retreat in fear, we're actually in total bondage. Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Rejection from that which is destructive and temporal is really not that big a deal. What are you saying? I am saying that young girl that would not accept my track is not that big a deal. A world without God is a big deal. A country whose leaders are atheists and agnostic and God deniers, that is far more problematic than somebody saying no to you. Somebody not accepting your invitation. Somebody saying, I don't go to church. That's not my thing. That's really not what's devastating. What's devastating is us not doing what God told us to do and where that leads. I mean, you look at America and the position she's in, and the reason she's in the position she is there's too many secret disciples. There's not enough people out here that know Jesus Christ that are willing to go out there and make him known. Just follow my thinking. Nobody likes it. It's not fun. It can even be a bit embarrassing. But listen to me. When this happens, we're not being destroyed. The bolder we are, the less danger we deal with. Do you know why our country's in the shape it is in today? Because there's too many of us that will not speak up. Too many followers of Jesus that are more interested in the praise of men than the approval of God. Too many men that wouldn't speak out and declare, thus saith the Lord. As we kept silent, those voices of opposition continue to gain influence and now are in places of power where they can cause us great harm. We're entering a dangerous place because of fear of what others would think. Your son or your daughter is going to enter into a dangerous place if you're too fearful of what they will think and not stand up for truth. If you will not say, no, son, no, daughter, that is not right, that is not good, that does not please the Lord. If you think that their disapproval in that moment is dangerous, you wait until they destroy their lives. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. That if that is the truth, and that is in the Bible, then the opposite would be true as well. There will be no greater heartache, there will be no greater sorrow than when your children don't. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can be secret about what the Bible says. You can be secret about what the law of God says. You can be secret in your home. But I'm telling you, that small amount of disapproval is actually not that big a deal in comparison to never letting out what God says and who God is. Another caveat to the danger of silence is that it could be more serious than mere cowardliness. It could be a reflection of what's truly in your heart. Now hear me, church. We are not saved by what we do. Salvation comes by Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. But what does the Bible say? For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. At some point in time, what's on the inside will be manifested on the outside. And our paralyzation of fear ought to cause us to consider where we are spiritually. In other words, if you're just not going to say anything, you're just never going to speak up, you're never going to take a stand, you might want to question if you even know him. These two men missed out. Now think with me. They missed out on an incredible experience by their secrecy. We know Nicodemus came to Jesus at the beginning of his ministry. Joseph probably heard early on as well. Nonetheless, by their secrecy, they missed out on walking with Jesus. They missed out on experiencing more of the life and ministry of Jesus. It cost them intimacy with Jesus by keeping what they believed a secret. They could have walked with him, had sweet, intense fellowship with him. They could have heard more of his sweet voice and observed more miracles and benefited from his example. But because they were afraid, they missed out on walking with Jesus. But it wasn't just Jesus. They could have had fellowship with other disciples. They could have found camaraderie, strength in numbers, prayer, brotherhood, sharpening, accountability. Look, when you're afraid to admit that you know Jesus, not only does it cost you intimately with him, but it costs you in fellowship with other believers. I was having a conversation with a student at a university recently, and she said that she was in class and had made conversation with another girl in class. And in fear, is just being cautious. So she said that the longer the conversation unfolded, the more they realized that they had a lot in common. And as they began to open up, she found out that she was a believer. She was a Christian. And she thought, I'm a Christian. Isn't that amazing? That entire semester, what they missed out on because they wouldn't open their mouth. They could have found somebody in the class that would have identified with them. Then when they began to talk about Christian things, another one said, well, actually, I'm a believer. And another one said, well, actually, I'm a believer. And by the end of the semester, there's a whole group of them that are fellowshipping together, helping one another out, encouraging one another, sharpening one another in a university that teaches anti-God principles. All because at one point in time, they had enough strength to say, I know Jesus. I'm telling you, we miss out. I have good news. We could focus on these men's failure to follow Christ openly and intimately. We could focus on their silence. But this passage is actually about their coming out. Calvary made a huge impact on these men's lives. Such an impact, they declared, no longer am I going to stay silent. Joseph begs the body of Jesus. Mark describes the action as bold. Joseph was openly identifying with a man that was accused of inciting an insurrection against Rome. Joseph didn't care. He was willing to risk his life to care for and identify with the crucified Jesus. The intimate followers fled. The secret disciple came running to help. Isn't that an oxymoron? Could it be that he regretted not having taken advantage of being with Jesus during his earthly ministry? He takes his body down publicly. He carries his body to the tomb publicly. He wasn't passing up another opportunity. This is Jesus. This is my Lord. And I am tired of hiding the fact that he is who he said he was. Nicodemus declares, no longer will I keep my mouth shut. I will prepare the Savior's body for burial. Burial was a huge deal to the Jews. What Nicodemus did was normal as far as the spices and linen were concerned. What wasn't normal was the amount. 100 pounds. According to 2 Chronicles chapter 16, this type of burial was reserved for royalty. Therefore, Nicodemus was declaring that Jesus was king. Jesus was his king. It could be that Nicodemus was trying to make up in Jesus' death what he hadn't enjoyed in his life. I'm not hiding it anymore. He is the King of Kings. He is the Son of God. How do you remember these men? As secret disciples, or the last ones to care for Jesus in his death? Even in our failure, church, I'm trying to encourage you. Even in our failure of being secret disciples, God's grace is always available and sufficient to help us out of what we are and what we should be. In other words, God's waiting today to say, I don't like where you're at, but I'll help you be different. I will strengthen you to be bold. I will change your heart. And I quote, what's the point of being the richest and most successful man in the cemetery? So they're rich, so they had it all, they would still die. And what good did all the riches do? Because everything you did on earth stays on earth. Everything you did for God goes with you to eternity. You choose. Temporal suffering, eternal gain. Temporary comfort, Eternal loss, you choose. How secret do you want to be? I wonder who is hurting in your life because you're a secret disciple. I wonder how many of your neighbors don't know Jesus and they never will because you'll never say anything. How many of the people you go to school with will die and go to hell because you wouldn't simply say, hey, do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? Hey, I know somebody could tell you about him. Why don't you come to my church? How many people around you are suffering because we're secret about our knowledge of who God is? How many families are suffering because dad won't speak up? He's silent when he ought to speak. How many children are suffering because mom in her nurturing nature would rather love and be accepted than say, sweetheart, we're not dressing like that, we're not talking like that, we're not going there. That doesn't honor Jesus. How many people are suffering because we're silent? Because we're just not ready to fully claim that Jesus is King. Well, can I tell you, church, he is. And you're not going to change that, and neither am I. And you can be secret about it, and I can be secret about it, but it's not going to change anything. He's still King. He's still coming back. And the less people know, the more trouble we're going to have. You think America's bad? Just let her stay on the path she's going. And you and I keep our mouths shut, and it's going to get worse. They'll take our liberties away. They'll take our freedoms away. They'll take this building away. I'm telling you, they'll tax the dog out of us where we can't afford to live. They will take these liberties from us if we don't go tell them about Jesus being King. Because the only thing that's going to change their mind is Jesus. It's all standing right about every eye closed. Stand to your feet. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you so much for your attention. I'm just curious, how many people would say today, Pastor, I know with all my heart, without any shadow of a doubt, there's no question in my mind that if I were to die today, that I would go straight to heaven and be with Jesus for all eternity. Would you slip your hand up and say, I already know the answer to that question. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for your testimony. Put your hands down. How many would say, Preacher, I don't know. I don't know for sure. I know who God is. I know that Jesus is his son. I know what the church, I know a lot of things, but I don't know Jesus is my personal Savior. I don't know that if I were to die that I'd go to heaven. Would you slip your hand up? It's just me. I just want to pray for you. I just want to know how to pray for you. I did not see. Thank you so much for your transparency. Thanks for being honest. Anybody else? Thank you so much. Can I just tell you that Jesus Christ said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He's the only way to heaven. And the Bible says in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Anybody can be saved. If you'll acknowledge that you're a sinner and you'll accept him as a Savior, if you'll repent that you're a sinner and believe, put your faith and trust in the resurrected Savior, you can be saved. Heaven can be your home. God will be your Father. Jesus will be your Savior, not just the Savior. There's a difference. I would encourage you, if you raise your hand today, we're not asking you to join the church. We're not asking you to do anything except just come and let somebody take a Bible and show you how you can know today that heaven is your home.